Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again looking into the book of Luke. We're in chapter 15. We've been studying. If you've been following along, this is the story of the lost son, or the son who is not the best son.
You know, he asked the father for the inheritance. Dad, I know you're not dead yet, but I want my money that I'm going to get when you do die.
Yeah, he's the prodigal son. And we're going to pick it up somewhere around verse number 21. But the idea here is this son who wants everything now, and he takes off and he spends everything in riotous living, the Bible says. So he's a prodigal son. And one thing I think we learn from this story is that every Christian father and mother must understand that God really loves their wandering children. If your child wanders from the Christian faith, or they don't have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand that God desires to see them saved just as much as you do.
You know, it's an incredible feeling. I have three boys. They're all off, away from home, in school. And, you know, releasing them has been the hardest thing for us. And, you know, you come home and it's quiet. They're not there anymore. You don't have to fix their meals. You don't have to do that. They're doing great, but, you know, you miss them. But in a case like this where the son, you know, goes off in not the best of circumstances, and it probably hurts on a deeper level in your heart, and yet you still love that child and you still want the best for them. And that's the picture we have of God. We break God's heart because of what we do or what we think or where, you know, but he still loves us and it hurts him, but he still loves us and he'll do whatever he can to bring us home.
Yeah, and that's what you need to understand is God loves them just as much as you do. And
right.
So he's going to somehow get him back to, Jesus does tell us and the scriptures do remind us that if son begins well, he'll end well because the Lord will keep working on him.
Right.
So it says in verse number 21, the son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." So in the parable and the story that we're looking at, we find that the son comes to his senses. He spends all of his father's money and he comes back and the father sees him and the father runs to him, wraps his arm around him. And the son now is asking for forgiveness. He says, "I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you." It's interesting that in this particular parable that he puts heaven first, you know, trying to help us understand that it is really God. So he says that's what it's first.
And I think he came to his senses and he recognized his place, his state of being, his where he was at. He couldn't get any lower. And the only place he could look was up. You know, he had hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And I think when a person hits that place, some reality sets in and they understand their relationship to the God who created heaven and earth and to the people around them.
Yeah. And I think one thing here, like you mentioned, is the reality came that this was a sin against heaven.
Yep.
That what he had done was not biblically sound. It's not correct. Couldn't find it in the Bible. There's a lot of people that might say, well, okay, I sinned against you, but they're never going to say they sinned against heaven. Because when you say you sinned against heaven, you're recognizing that there are parameters, there are boundaries, there are such things as absolute truths that are found. And today, a lot of people don't like absolute truths. They don't want to have any kind of morality except their own morality. And if they've sinned against your morality, they might tell you that, you know, but they're not going to say that heaven has a morality, because if heaven has a morality and they believe in heaven, then they've got to align with it.
Yeah, you know, there is a moral God who has created morals, and people don't want to acknowledge
that.
They do anything and everything they can to discount that or to disbelieve it, but it really exists.
Right. And one of the things we find, I think, a lot is lying. We have our politicians lying to us all the time.
Well,
and it seems like to me that when they lie, they don't see any problem with lying.
Yeah.
To tell you whatever you want to hear so that they can stay elected.
Yeah.
And that happens. Lying is something that in Jesus says that lying, no place for it in the kingdom of heaven.
No.
Yeah. So you've got to take a quick look when you look at this particular parable at your own life. That's what's happening here.
Yeah.
You've got to look at it. And so the father says in verse number 22 to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet." Now, he's coming from a place where he was actually feeding pigs. I don't think he had sandals on his feet. He probably didn't have any rings because he sold everything he had.
Right.
So he had nothing. He certainly didn't have a robe on him. He was dealing with whatever cloth he could to cover himself up. But look what the father does to him. The father just, He clothes him beautifully.
Yeah.
He puts a ring on his finger. Now, I don't know how much rings mean to us, but in a lot of cultures, rings actually have not just signets on it, but they're actually like a signature chop. You can use them to actually make your mark on something to prove that that's you. So it's a really important thing here that the father does for him. And then he puts sandals on his feet also. What a loving father.
It's an amazing picture. I was just thinking about it. And, you know, we always think about the robe and the ring and the sandals, but I was just trying to picture in my mind what the son looked like at this moment. He had just come from feeding the pigs.
I didn't think about that.
He had just walked a long way. I mean, you kind of alluded to it. His hair was a mess. His clothes were a mess. And the father sees him a far way off. He runs up. He hugs him. He gives him a kiss, even though he's a mess. He may have tried to clean himself up a little bit. I don't know. Luke doesn't go into that detail. But when the father sees him, he says, regardless of what condition he's at, I'm gonna welcome him back into the family, and I'm gonna give him everything that I have, even though he already asked for his inheritance and he already got from me what was due him. I still have more to give to him. And so what a beautiful portrait that is of a loving father and of the amazing inheritance we have. Obviously this is alluding to us as lost children, the wonderful inheritance we have in God through Jesus Christ.
So it seems like to me that you can make a correlation here about somebody that comes to church and maybe they're not so well dressed.
Yeah.
Maybe they're looking a little shabby.
Huh?
The hair's a little long.
Yeah.
Tears in their jeans.
That's
and
it.
Not looking great, actually.
Yeah.
But they're accepted.
Yeah, because we don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to God.
They're accepted.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes church people have to recognize that. Sometimes church people might look at somebody and say, you can't come to church like that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get dressed first. It's almost like saying you got to clean yourself up before
right,
you come to God. And you're telling us this is not what happened in this story.
Not,
and that's what Jesus is saying.
That's kind of what I'm seeing.
That's what I see in the scripture, too, that this guy came back. He had a sincereness of heart that he wanted to come back to the Father. And he comes back and look at the welcome he gets from the Father.
It's the heart. It's the heart.
You're
you nailed
right.
it right there. It's that sincerity of heart, that humility. Humility of heart. You know, in this society, which is secular humanism, where it's all about me and I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, this kid didn't say that. This kid realized I need help. And the only place that I can find that is in my Father and through my Father. My Father had something that I need. And I think when we understand that God is our Father and we realize that He has something that only He can provide, that nothing in this world can give us what the Father can give us, we're going to try to do it in our own way and we're going to fail miserably. But when we can come to the Father and say, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, I'm without you, I'm lost, there's no saving ourselves. Only when we have that humility of heart can we find that salvation.
Yeah, and so this parable really is about the Father. It starts out about the son, about the prodigal son, but it really is about the love of the Father, because that's what we see in here. When he puts this ring on his finger, he does the sandals and he gives him a robe. Then the Father says, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. I mean, they didn't kill a fatted calf very often. So this is a special, special thing when somebody comes and repents and comes to the Lord or comes back to God. And here, the Father is so excited. He doesn't say, let's just get a hamburger. Let's do the whole thing.
Right.
Let's kill the whole calf, man.
Let's celebrate.
I like that. And have a feast. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And I suppose you could probably, if you want to put yourself in a position like this, as suppose you had a son who really was lost or thought to be dead, and all of a sudden he's not.
Yeah.
I mean, what a feeling that would
oh
be,
my gosh.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We empathize with those people who have lost children or they're seem to be lost and they can't find them and how they search for them and everything and all they go through. But here in this particular case, that son who was lost is now found, and the joy and the celebration is terrific because of this.
You know, the son looked at his father and considered his father dead.
That's true.
The father is dead. I get the inheritance.
There you go. That's a good point.
I go off and do my thing.
Yeah.
And so in the father's eyes, this son is dead. He's left. He's not coming back. I've given him the inheritance. There's no reason for him to come back. So to the father, this son is dead because he's off doing his own thing.
He wanted his inheritance right away.
Yeah. And then all
of a sudden. Don't wait till I die. Give me it now.
Yeah. You know, so to each one, they both consider the other one dead.
Yeah.
And then at this moment, when there's humility and the father is out there watching. Now the father could have responded in another way. Get off my property.
Right.
I gave you everything.
Everything.
I don't want to see your face. You considered me dead. Hit the road. You know, he could have sent one of his servants out to tell him, you know, I don't want to see you, but he didn't do that.
That would have been a normal response.
I think that would have been...
That would have been a Jewish response, a normal response. Because I know I have friends that became Christians that were Jewish, and they were disowned by their parents because they were Christians.
Yep.
And so here, this is a very strong cultural, cut them off. I'm sorry, you're gone. But that's not the way God is. That's what that's what this parable is telling us, isn't it?
Yeah.
God's not like that.
I gave you everything that was due you, so I have nothing left for you.
Yeah.
But this totally threw the Jewish cultural response on its ear.
Completely.
Yeah.
I had a fellow that was in our church, and one of the men that from our church borrowed $2,000 from him. Said, "I'll get it right back to you. I'll get it back to you." So he never got it back. Never got it back. Never got it back. He asked him for it. He asked him for it. Uh-huh. Never got it back. Never got it back. So finally, I had heard about it. So I asked the fellow. I says, "Oh, did you ever get your money from so and so?" He says, "No." I says, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" He says, "Actually, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to love them just as though nothing happened."
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that's what this parable is all about.
Wow.
Somebody may have hurt you, done something wrong to you.
Yep.
They may have belittled you. They may have said a bad word at work about you.
Yep.
They may have borrowed money from you. They may have disrespected you.
Yeah.
Here, this is all about let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go, Louie.
Yeah.
Right. Let it go.
Yeah.
And have this kind of love that God has, or the Father here in the story has for this son, because there's probably no more painful thing when someone of your own family does this to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that hurts more than stranger.
It really does.
We say things sometimes to family members that hurt more than what somebody else would say, but here, this is a really good story because it helps us to understand that we can forgive and love just like God the Father.
Yeah, it's a powerful story if you take the time to really think about it and see all the different angles from it. It really is.
So celebrate. This son of mine was dead. Yeah. Now that relationship has been restored again.
Yeah.
He was lost. Now I have him now back in my family, and so let's celebrate. Now, here comes an interesting part.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Meanwhile, the old son, the older son who's in the field, the one that didn't leave, when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he's probably thinking, hey, something great's happening. Yeah, this is exciting. Music, dancing. We're going to have a great time. And so he comes in and he hears it. So he calls his servant. He says, hey, man, what's happening here? That's not quite the words, but anyway. Your brother has come, replied, and your father's killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.
Oh, isn't that awesome? That's so cool. Man, where is he?
Yeah, sure. That's what
give him a hug.
You think the brother says. The older brother became angry. He refused to go in. So his father had to go out again. The father goes out to the older brother, who has this hatred and bitterness in his heart because the older brother didn't get what the younger brother got right away, and he was jealous, and there was all kinds of things that were happening. Maybe he thought his younger brother was unworthy to come back because of the way he treated his father and ditched his inheritance and everything. So he's angry, and he doesn't go into the party, but the father comes out to get him, to bring him in.
So the older brother is now dissing the father, you know, and so the father wants to, this is a beautiful picture of dad here working.
It is.
You know, and the issues you have to deal with when you have your sons how to, you know, navigate the relationship issues. Yeah, it's a powerful verse.
So the father says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. This is what the older son says. And I have never disobeyed your orders like the younger son did.
Yeah.
Yet you never gave me even a young goat. I mean, so he's looking at the food.
Yeah.
Perhaps maybe you gave him steak and I'm getting chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you gave him steak and I've never done anything wrong to you. I've never disobeyed you at all and you're only giving me chicken. And he's getting steak. Come on.
You know, I've had goat. And if it's prepared right,
yeah,
it's
okay.
Almost edible.
Anyway, he says, you didn't even give me goat so I could celebrate with my friends. So you went through a party for me so that I could have not even a goat.
Yeah, yeah.
How much more work is it to cut up a goat than it is to a big old steer? But this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. So here we find that not only did he spend the money, but he spent it really on some bad things.
Yeah, and they heard the story. You know,
knew the story.
They knew what was going on with the kid. Yeah. You know, here's these two sons. Now the younger son knows that the older son's going to get a double portion. He knows that the older brother is going to get everything. He's going to get a little bit of something, but the older brother gets everything, gets all the honor, And so the younger son goes off and does his thing, squanders what he should have. And in the Jewish culture, they're very good. Take care of your money, take care of yourself, you know.
Yep.
And so this lifestyle, completely appalling to them. And so the older brother, in a sense, has, you know, hey, I've done everything right, and you didn't even give me a goat. Come on.
Yeah.
You know? And you can almost understand his anger, but then the father knows how to answer him.
Hmm. He wasn't talking about a GTO here either.
No.
My son, the father said to the older man, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead. Now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have to focus on what is really important in life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you start looking at all the peripheral things in life that some people think are important, they really aren't as important as some other things that you have a tendency to neglect or put aside.
You know, I don't think the son, the older brother, understood all that he had. I think he just worked hard. He just did. And I don't think he really appreciated what he had.
Yeah,
and there's some people that are in Christ that just may not really appreciate, or maybe they've been in it so long, maybe they just take stuff for granted.
Yeah, it's a shame. This is a great parable. So keep your heart open. Remember that God loves you so much you can't even imagine how much He loves you. That's what this story is all about. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We hope you have a great day. Remember, God really does love you.